First Corinthians chapter 2. It's where we left off. We'll pick it up at verse 12. We'll pick it up at verse 12, where Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he talked about the wisdom that he spoke, which was contained in the gospel. The wisdom that God had ordained, before the world for their glory and our glory, which is the gospel of Christ. And he said, we speak these things. He says, the Spirit, verse 10, he said, the Spirit has revealed these things to us, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, verse 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, it's interesting that where we talked about last week is you think about how people, believers, and the week before, was it? I think it was last week we talked about how many people, how many believers have the Holy Spirit. How do you know that?
Scripture tells us.
Failing. Because you believe the text, right? You believe the scripture. He says, at the moment you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he says, we have the Spirit that he'll do what? He says in verse 12 that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Notice that's a little s. When we get saved, he regenerates your spirit. Your dead spirit, which was not able to receive the things of God, he wakes that spirit up. So the big spirit, the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with you. Otherwise, you have the spirit here, and what we call it, the natural man. If the Spirit tries to give this man information, what happens?
He doesn't understand it.
But this man, he relishes that. He thrives on that. He grows from that. That's why he says, comparing spiritual, when you have the Spirit in these words, are what?
Life.
Spirit.
And life.
I think we use the example of yogurt, where yogurts, the cultures are alive. And you can eat them, and when you eat it, you think it's because of out of the cup, it's done. But it's only begun to work in you. And the word is this. When you read this, you think, well, that's it. Not really. It's just begun. He that hath begun a good work in you, we'll call it transformation, where you take that in and it begins to work. If you believe it. So that'll keep you, that makes me wonder about a guy who says this. Why are you talking about that grace stuff? He doesn't believe that that's what? No. He doesn't believe that that's what?
Spiritual.
No.
Doctrine for him?
Second, look at Thessalonians. That's not, I'm not trying to trick you all, but. And when you see it, you're going to say,
Oh, yeah.
I knew that. And I know you know that.
Of course we know. That's why we don't have to say it.
You didn't phrase the question like that.
Because the reason I want you to look at it, because I want you to look at it. First Thessalonians. Right? Because if you look at it, you'll read it. And when you read it, guess what? It's in there. It's like that yogurt. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received that grace stuff,
the word of God,
you which ye heard of us, ye received it not as
the word of men,
but as it is in truth,
the word of God,
the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So, I'll say it again, is when you think about it, when a guy says something like that, why are you talking about that grace stuff? He's not receiving that as what? He doesn't believe what?
The word of God.
He doesn't believe it's the word of God. He would never say, why are you talking about that grace stuff?
Sure.
Like I made it up. And like it's not on his page.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit, that's just like talking to a natural man.
Right.
Because he doesn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If somebody comes to us and says this, thus saith the Lord, you'd have to do what?
Listen.
You'd have to at least consider it. Paul, you know what Paul said to the Corinthians, and over, and he said this, consider
what I say.
And what?
And the Lord will give you understanding in all things.
Consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. That's his job. Is to enlighten your understanding when you believe what?
His word.
So he says, well, what do you think about this verse? Well, I gotta pray about that. Loophole. I gotta pray about that. That means that I don't believe it's the word of God.
Right.
And that he's never studied it.
And maybe he means I have to look at it a little closer until the Holy Spirit enlightens me. But usually, that's the phrase to get him off the hook. Because what the doctrine will do is make you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you a story, right? I just thought about this. This is, my wife's not here, but I'm going to talk about her. Is this is when we first got married.
Speaking to the microphone.
And this is funny to me. It's funny. Matter of fact, look at Titus. No, this is
part of the story. Yeah.
This part of the story, right? Titus chapter 2. So we were in the kitchen, and we had an argument over some ice trays. Which is, I know, very serious. Where when you take the ice out of the tray, and you know it's half gone, why would you put a half tray of ice back in the freezer? Fill it back up and then put it in there.
Because you're lazy.
So she said, well, there's still some in there. I was like, so we went back and forth about that for, and it just turned to it wasn't a big blowout, but it was more than it should have been.
Right.
So, and some, right, but there's it's not about the ice.
No.
It's always something. So, I said we were talking about something about love. We got on love, and I said, well, I said, that's all right. I said, because you have to learn how to love me. I don't believe that. I believe, you know what, you either love somebody or you don't love them. And I said, okay. I said, look at this, Titus. I said, verse 4.
Titus what
for?
Titus 2.
He said, look at verse 3. He said, that the aged women, likewise, that they become in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober to what?
Not
And I said, you have to be taught how to do that. I was serious. So you have to be taught how to do that. And she said, I don't believe that. So I said, okay, read that. And she read that and she said, this is exactly what she did. She read it and she looked at me and she smiled. She says, I don't believe that.
You're not even winning this argument with the word of the Lord. That's what you
said. So, but it was so funny that we laughed and forgot all of the ice tray deal was done. But the reason I said that is because I knew she believed the word of God.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't, if I said it, as long as I said it, I don't believe that.
Yeah. Yep.
So when I showed it to her and she read it, she smiled. She said, well, in her mind, I know, she said, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Because she believes the word of God.
Right.
But if you go to a person who doesn't, then they'll dig in and say, you got to go to Deuteronomy. And not this. So what now? Was that funny? That was funny. Okay, Corinthians 2. He says 2:12 that he has given us the not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely. Yes, sir.
So the small s over there is the one that knows the thoughts or whatnot of the man. Are we saying that? Or
that's even with an unsaved man. What?
Okay.
You weren't here last week, were you?
I think so.
You think so? You weren't here, or you think you were here?
What was the smallest?
He's not convinced.
But. You have a spirit. The natural man has a spirit that relates to the world.
The smallest isn't the quickened spirit.
Yeah, this is the same thing as Paul calls it, the new man.
All right. So
this would be the same thing up here as the old man. The natural man and the old man, same thing. So, and that we would use example is where we're talking about men. It's like, I don't have to ask a man what he thinks. About natural relationships between men and women. I don't have to ask another man what he thinks about women because I'm a man. What things know a man save the spirit of man that's in him?
So is it safe to say that, okay, we're looking at spirit, soul, body. The spirit that's there, we can say, is out of fellowship. Then once we are baptized, the big S is the one that quickens or waking up that spirit.
And the last.
The little S.
Right.
So now the little S is the one that's really feeding and wanting the spiritual nourishment.
Right.
And
now
you're still warring against the natural old man.
Right.
So
right.
The big, okay.
Well, look at Titus. Let's try to help you out right here. Titus, we just left Titus. Let's go back to Titus. It's chapter 3. He says this, not verse 5, 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and what?
Renewing
of the Holy Ghost. Now when you get saved, like I said, when the Spirit comes in, he regenerates that spirit.
Okay.
Where you didn't have what it took to relate to God. You'd think you did.
Okay, so that's where the disconnect is, that it, at that time the spirit can search the things of man, but without the big I'm saying a big S, which is the Holy Spirit, is the only one that knows the mind of God and know how to search things of God, which is correlating with the little S.
That's what, you know what, he said in Romans, he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities.
Okay.
For we not know what to pray for as we are, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will of God.
There you go.
Because what we lack at is information for this man right here, for the new man. The information is what strengthens him. Look at Ephesians. Chapter 3. Let's see. I'm not there yet. 3. Yeah, you can start at 14. He says, for this cause, when Paul's praying, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the what?
In the name.
He's praying for this, that you might be strengthened by the Spirit, that you might be strengthened by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, he says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By what?
Faith.
How does that relate to the Word of God?
Believe it.
So, you know what? The more faith you have, the more he what? The more he strengthens you, and the more he what? We just read it. The more he
strengthens you in the inner man.
And the more he what? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, he's using that word because even though he's there to stay, he dwells in us. We use that example where you might have somebody that, you might have a guest at your home, and you say, make yourself at home. You don't really mean that, though. Because if you come in and he's in your room and you're going to say, what are you doing in there? And you said, well, make myself at home. And you say, well, I didn't mean in my room. That's personal. That's private. So you have areas where the Lord is not allowed in that area. You said, I trust you, Lord, as my Savior, but don't mess with my money. Don't tell me what to do with my money, Lord. Or don't tell me what to do with my children, Lord. Or don't tell me what to do with my business, Lord. Don't we have areas where we, you know what? I love the Lord, but not on that side right there. He's not dwelling in there richly. That makes sense? But he says, I'm praying for you that the more enlightenment you get, the more faith you get, that you would let him dwell in you richly. He says that ye may being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. And you said, how in the world can that happen? He says, well, let me tell you how. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And here's a disclaimer. Here's a caveat. He says he can do this according to the power that worketh in us. Now, you think, you know what? You think that's a blank check. But it's not. You know what it does? Because the more you know what his will is, the more you know, it transforms your thinking to think like him. That's what Paul can say in Philippians. He said this, I have learned to be content. You notice those educational terms in there? Look at that little passage there. He says, about being strengthened in the inner man, that he may dwell in your hearts by faith, rooted and grounded, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. And 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's where the power comes from the word of God. Is the word, the spirit takes those things, these spiritual things, and renews the mind of your new man. And then you begin to think more and more like the Lord. More and more when you take it in. Okay, we're in Ephesians. Look over at verse 17, or verse 4, chapter 4, verse 17. Yes.
I just want to share an example. You know, the key to all this is spending time in this word. And I used to teach the ladies at the jail. It's like you spend time in this word, and it's like you watch an old couple grow through the years together. The more they're together, they can complete each other's sentences. Mm-hmm. They know what one's speaking without ever having to say anything because they know the mind of the other. And it's the same thing. You don't get that without spending time.
Right. You have to keep renewing your mind. My aunt used to joke, she says, about my uncle, she says, I could look in the crowd and I can tell him from the back of his head. So I said, yeah, that's pretty good. So what I say, oh, 17, he says this, verse chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 17. Well, that's too many verses. Just go back to, look at verse 20. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. He's telling the Ephesians to walk, be mature. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, you know the Ephesians never seen Jesus. You know that, don't you?
Right.
You know they've never been taught by him.
Right. Well, through Paul, they were taught of him.
So when he says that, as you heard him and been taught by him, that's what he's saying. I am the vehicle that you hear Christ and you've been taught by him is me. Paul. So that goes back. You know what we read in Thessalonians is when you receive the word of God that you heard of us, that you received it not as the word of men. So what makes when you sit down and you open that book up, you have to believe that that's just like when you sit down. I'm just sitting here talking to you, that you're talking to the Lord. When you read that, he says, you might just read that. Says Bob. He says, Bob, listen, Bob, 21, he says, if so be that you've heard me and you've been taught by me as the truth is in me, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, this guy right here, put off the stuff, his conversation, the what he used to do, the things he used to like, put off that man, and he says what? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You say, well, I don't have those. Sure you don't. What things know a man save the spirit of man that's in him? You know how I know you got deceitful lust? Because I do. And if I do and you do, guess what? Me too. And it's not just men. It's the ladies too. Because we're all what?
Natural.
We have that in us. We have that nature in us.
I don't have the old man.
So he says, look, he says in verse 23, put that off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the, there he is, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, James, you concentrate on this man right here. When he says put him on, he didn't mean that you don't have him. He meant put him on like adorning the doctrine. You put on the things that he wears. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. He said, that's the fruit. That's what I want you to do is what I'm giving you here. That's what he wants. And when you take it in, you know what? When you take this doctrine in, it's like I give you, here go your socks. And then you do what? You put them on. Right now, he's naked and ashamed. He put on the socks, and you keep reading. He says, well, here go your shoes. Put on the shoes and keep reading. Here's the pants. And fully, after a while,
yeah.
Well, you get the picture. After a while, you have a what? You have a full-dressed man, right? And he's dressed in his righteousness alone. Not ours, in his righteousness alone. Not ours. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but we, as we become transformed and we put on Christ, then you can see it. You can see it in a person. It won't be like the emperor, you know, the emperor's new clothes. That's a self-righteous man who thinks that I'm very well dressed and everybody knows. He's not. Okay, Corinthians. Did that answer your question? I know I kind of kept going a little bit. I'm sorry. Corinthians 2. But he said, these are the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Which we talked about it is, this is spiritual. This book is spiritual. And he compares those spiritual things, what the Spirit writes, these spiritual things, with that, with a new man. That's what I say. You can never sit down and say, I can't understand it. Because you have the person in there who wants to understand it, and you have the person who will help you understand it.
Resident officer.
That's, you know what? I was watching, this is a while ago, Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. And he was in the class and he wanted to get an A. And she says, the teacher says, I want you to do a report on this poet. And I want you to read this poem and I want you to tell me what he's thinking when he writes this poem. And he was like, oh, he says, oh, he had so much money, he calls the guy up. He says, I need you to come over here and tell me what you were thinking when you wrote this. And he got the author. And the author told him, he wrote it down, and he wrote it. And he took it and turned it in, and the teacher, when they had some kind of misunderstanding, she read it, and she came back to his table, and she put all the papers down, and he flipped it over, and he had an F. And she's like, F? He said, F, I put a lot of time and effort in that. And she said, you had made a lot of grammatical mistakes. And she says, besides that, you know nothing about that author. But I was thinking that here's a man who went to the source. So if you have the Holy Spirit who's resident in you and the new man, why would you ever think that I can never understand this? You know what? A guy told me this. He says, when you start doubting the Word of God, you have to be educated out of it, believing the Word of God. That's true. He said you have to be educated out of it. Where a guy said this. They crossed the Red Sea. I read it. He said, well, it wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Sea of Reeds. Who taught you that? It wasn't Exodus. Somebody taught you. Somebody educated you out of your belief of what Moses wrote. And where are you after that? Where are you? Mm-hmm. He said, well, you weren't there. You have to walk by faith. Was he there? Why would he say it wasn't the Sea of Reeds when Moses said it was the Red Sea? Don't you know he knows the difference between red and reeds? You do know that. And not only that, he repeated the error more than once. If it was the red, if I'm going to get caught up. Okay. He said this. But the natural man, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually picked up. They're spiritually discerned. So a carnal man, a carnal Christian, is just like a natural man. A carnal believer doubts the word of God, and it can't work effectually in him because he what?
Doesn't believe it.
He doesn't believe it. You know what?
Are you saying he believed enough to be saved, but he doesn't believe enough to grow?
That's, do you know what? There's a lot of us that we believe, like a guy told me, just enough to get your foot in the door. And after that?
No coming into the knowledge of the truth.
Who cares? Now say, turn to Hezekiah, and you'll go flipping. I don't see Hezekiah. It's not in there. But, well, that was a joke. That was a joke. Oh. But
where is that?
You know what? I know you remember this. Remember the day we were in the class and the lady came and she had the book with the numbers in it. And we were looking and we said, you said, like, turn to whatever it was. And she was reading and she read the numbers after the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
After the...
13.
It had the Strong's numbers in it.
Strong.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she read the numbers. And we laughed. It was funny to us. We didn't mean any harm, but it was funny. Yeah. Because we were like, what is she reading? She said, it's part of the verse.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's just the numbers on the top. They don't really go with the text. But she didn't know. She didn't know that. And the reason that, I'm not saying she wasn't saved. I'm just saying if you don't grow, then you will think, it'll just be like a natural man.
Right.
You have nothing to, the Holy Spirit has very little to work with.
No dots to connect.
Look, if he said this, he enlightens you by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you don't have a lot of spiritual to compare with, what do you have? It's like taking a 10,000-piece puzzle and you only have 5 pieces. Mm-hmm. You will never know where those pieces go because you don't have enough to compare with. Mm-hmm. You say, well, this goes where? I have no idea. But when you get more and more information, that's where you read. You read for your what?
Learning.
Well, yeah, you read for, there's different, you have your leisurely reading, you have your studies, and you might have your maybe middle ground where you're just reading over some things, but you're still putting that in, and you're adding to your circle of reference. Every time you pick it up. Are you not?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a little more. You say, you know what? I don't know where it is, but I read that somewhere before. Mm-hmm. I've been asleep. Oh, well. I've been ready to go to sleep. And you know what? Those, they just come back around. You're like, oh, wow, that's it. After you write it down. Or you could be riding somewhere and you're like, oh, I need to write that down. Doesn't that happen? You're like, because you're adding to it. And the Holy Spirit, he has something. He says, remember that verse? He said, take this, put that with that. And you said, oh, wow. Like that, oh, you know that game we used to play when you flip all the cards over and then you flip that over? I'm like, that's not a match. You flip it over. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll say, now flip that over. Flip that. And he's like, that's a match. Wow. And it just adds to your understanding. And after a while, you'll be like Paul. He said this. After a while, you will have a better understanding of the things that have been freely given to you of God. Because all that God has done, do you think he wants you to know it? Sure. All that he's done for not just us in this building, for all believers. Do you think he wants them to know it? Mm-hmm. Why don't they know it?
They don't intake it.
What's that?
Can I say something?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were the pen. I'm thinking.
Because I really relate to that verse 14, because I was the natural man who thought that the things of God were foolishness. And so then when I came to know the Lord, then there was a part of God's word that I didn't think was foolishness anymore. I very much, it was precious to me. It's what, like when you were talking about the five pieces of the puzzle, you said I didn't know the rest of it. That's right, but I hung on to those tight, you know. I knew that's what saved me. But the rest of me had all that worldly information still. So I was still thinking like a natural man most of the time, except for that little part that I knew. And it's only over time when I really started studying and understanding more of God's word, then I started thinking more like him. And then the more I thought like him, the more I wanted to study and so forth. But it's right. That's the way I see the carnal man. It's not always that direction. I mean, sometimes he gets stuck somewhere, but I see it as a man who has this little bit of spirit, which is enough to save him. But the rest of it is carnal. It's worldly. It's natural until he replaces it with God's word.
And how long does that take?
About 35 years.
That's just beginning.
Right.
It takes a lifetime. The transformation process does. So you couldn't possibly know what you knew at 12 that you would know at 22. Or 32, or 42, or 52. That's what people say that. If I knew then what I know now, I'd be a millionaire. Well, you know what? That's the way it works. And he said this. He says, they are spiritually, that natural man can't pick them up. They're spiritually discerned. And for the natural man, like I said, it's foolishness to him. And an unsaved man and a carnal believer are not too far apart. That's why you can say this. You say, well, I don't know why, I don't know how he could do that and be saved. I do. Because if the doctrine is not working, you'll do what this guy does. If you're not feeding the new man, who do you think you're feeding? If he's not getting stronger, who do you think is getting stronger?
The one you feed. Mm-hmm.
He was strong to begin with.
And he was strong to begin with. He didn't need any help. Ephesians said this, he works uncleanness with greediness. He never gets enough.
He's the default. Right?
He's the default. He never gets enough of his old nature. As a matter of fact, if he gets enough of one part of it, he branches out. You know, it's not enough. Greediness. He can fill the plate up, and then if he will get another plate. And you said, you can't eat all that. I want to try. The old man, he said, he should think it should have been enough when he did that. Not for the old man. He'll say, you can take one more bite, Bob. You can do it. He said, I have faith in you, right? But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He says that he that is spiritual judges all things. The spiritual man, you know, he can evaluate everything. He that is spiritual. Let me give an example. When new people come in, and Annette can vouch to this, you call them on the phone, and all it takes is about 2 minutes of listening to them, and you know exactly where he is. The spiritual man can do that. The man who has information, he can point that out. He says, you know what? They're interested, but they're stuck in the law. You already know that. You don't know. You haven't talked. You talked to that person 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Do you think they know where you are?
No.
You just like go to the doctor. What's wrong? Oh yeah, it's hurting right here, and you said okay, and you said that's it. You say yeah, that's it. Well, I'm not finished. Well, I pretty much know what's wrong. Because he's had years and years of experience. He's seen the case come by him over and over again. He doesn't have to spend an hour with an examination. All it takes is a couple of minutes. Where is it hurting? Does it hurt when I do this? Okay. Take that and come back next week. Do you know, and it happens in the scripture, you know.
And they're always right, right?
Not always.
That's why they call it a practice.
But he is. but he is. That's different from them. Yeah. And I was thinking, and that happens with. I was thinking of when he said that we know the mind of the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives us that information. Who can second guess him? Who is with him and says, "What are you doing?" Or maybe you should do it this way. That's right. You know, think about when Moses went out to his brothers in Egypt. He had faith. The Lord had they knew the plan. They knew the plan. It said when Moses was full 40, he went out to see his brothers. Who told him they were his brothers?
That's his mother.
Very well could have been. But God was in on that because he told him that you will deliver these people. And Moses went out. And he, you know what? He probably got itchy. He, you know what? I think, I got a few minutes. Can I get a few minutes? Mm-hmm. This is just speculation. But it's good. I can see Moses doing this. That's day 5. That's 6. That's 7. 8. And when he got to that, when he hit 40, he said, 40. And he went out there and he said, it's time. He said, it's ready, God. And he went out there and he says, I'm the deliverer. And God was like, wait a minute. But what I want is this. He said this in Acts 7, Stephen, he said this, that he supposed that they knew who he was. He recognized their plight. He discerned where they were, but they didn't know who he was. They said, who are you? Who made you a judge and a ruler? And Moses could say, God did. But they weren't on the same page. They were not spiritual people. He was. He was appointed to lead those people out. Was he not? They didn't know Moses from
Adam.
So naturally, you know, the outcome was different. You're another guy. Think when John shows up and they said, "Give us an answer. Who are you?" If they were spiritual people, they would have what? They could have known that. Even the Lord said this. He said, look, he would be Elijah if you were spiritual. Now, that may not make sense to y'all, but it's good. That's in John. He said, he would be Elijah if you were spiritual people. And they said, well, who is he? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? If they were spiritual, they would know. John knew their plight, but they didn't know who he was. They should have. If they were in on God's knowledge and God's plan, it would not have been a question. They would have. The scripture said this, that the Jews, the Pharisees, they rejected the counsel of God when they didn't get baptized by John. That was part of God's counsel. But instead of them going to God's man and said, you know what, we realize that you are God's man and we need to be baptized. Baptize us. They went to God's man and says, why are you doing this? It wasn't, why are you baptizing? Because we don't know who you are. They didn't know who he was because they were natural. If they were spiritual, they would have said, put the water on, like the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip knew who Philip was. Philip knew his plight. Lord said, go catch that chariot. Philip said, this is it. He says, what is going on here? And the man says, I believe. And he's riding, and he said, there's water right there. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? That's a man who, you know what? He took the spiritual and compared it, and he said, we can do this right here.
Philip did it.
He did. And for us, Paul says, we have the Spirit. We are to take this message, the things that's been freely given to us, and we go out. Of course you're going to run into some, but you hope that you find somebody who's looking, and you can say, let me show you some things that God has freely given to you. And when he does see it, he'll say, wow, he said, I need to know more about that. When can you tell me some more? Or how can I find out more about that? Because now he's beginning to compare those two things, right? That's where it starts. And we'll start next week in chapter 3.
I want to tell you something that compares to what you're saying.